Keith Mills with Darren O'Day, this edition of Road to Birdland. And your road, Darren, begins in Jacksonville, Florida, right? Growing up
That's
there?
That's right, born and raised. I played at Mandarin Athletic Association. You know, I went back there about 5-6 years ago and everything looked a little smaller than I remember. And T-ball, midgets, I guess we called it.
Yeah.
Coach pitch, all that stuff at MAA. Great memories, for sure.
Was your dad influential in coaching you?
My dad, yeah, for sure. My dad was actually, I was kind of a high-maintenance T-baller.
Put a lot of pressure on yourself, did you?
Well, I was, I was huge. So I was like the home run hitter. And I was
shortstop.
T-ball was actually the highlight of my baseball career. Everything was downhill from there. I was, because I hit home runs and chicks dig the long ball. So my dad was actually my personal pitcher, and like they would stop the game when I come up to bat, and Ralph is my dad's name. Ralph would have to jog out there, pitch underhand to me. He's the only guy he's pitching to, and then I'd smoke as a thank you. I'd smoke balls off his shins, and he still has bruises all over his leg.
You have to put a cage up eventually in T-ball.
No, they wouldn't let him do that, man. Personal pitcher, that's already pushing it. No cages allowed. So
your memory of T-ball is very vivid, though. I'm impressed with that.
Still talks to me about what I did to him when I was five, six, and seven.
So you go through the system, and obviously you're pretty good. Your little league turns in, I guess, to summer ball.
I started playing travel ball when I was 13. Ended up going on to play in high school with a lot of the kids from the same team. We travel all over Florida and all over the nation to play. We're pretty good. Probably the most well-known guy is Jonathan Papelbon. And his two younger brothers, Jeremy and Josh, both played minor league ball. And we had quite a few guys go on to play D1 and then another handful to go play in the big leagues. So it was pretty good baseball program.
When did you notice, Darren, that the coaches were coming out, college coaches were coming out, scouts were coming out? I guess obviously they were coming out for a lot of guys in your program, but was there a point where your dad and you sat down and maybe talked about what was ahead at all?
I wasn't really much of a prospect. I threw 85, 86 overhand, and that was about it, really. I was good enough to be all state, but I wasn't good enough to go to get a scholarship to Florida. So the scouts really weren't there for me, to be honest. The scouts were there for my teammates who I was talking about. In high school, I could have gone to some smaller D2 schools. I actually applied up here at Johns Hopkins, and I couldn't get enough financial aid to go. So
did you talk to Bobby Babb?
Yeah,
one of the best in the country at that level.
Yep.
Yeah. What was it about Hopkins that appealed to you?
I had a realistic view of my baseball career. So I wanted to use my baseball talent to get into a good school. Maybe a school that, just based on academics, I wouldn't have gotten into otherwise. There's these small out-of-state schools I could go to and probably be one of the good pitchers, but I want to go to Florida, get a scholarship, get an education, and see if I can walk on. I tried to walk on my freshman year throwing overhand, and I made the fall team, so let me scrimmage with them for about a month, and then they cut me. Wanted me to go to a junior college, and I decided I didn't want to do that. And so I tried out the next year throwing sidearm and made the team.
Did somebody help you, or did you just kind of go out with maybe your brother or somebody or maybe a couple of high school guys and start chucking it around there?
Yeah, my brother and I were playing catch at a lake house we used to rent on Kingsley Lake. In Florida every summer. We were just playing catch in the backyard, goof around, and I threw one sidearm. He's like, that's pretty good. So, I was like, I just forgot about it, went home, and a buddy who I worked with, who was still playing college ball, asked me to come pitch for his beer league team. It's 18 and over. Guys were smoking heaters, drinking beer in the dugout, just having a good time. The accountants would take off their tie and come out and play baseball after work. And so I started throwing sidearm there. I was starting and playing shortstop, hitting cleanup. That might have been the highlight of my baseball career. But
wait a minute, T-ball or this? Come on now.
They were about
that's a
the
great
same.
Story, though.
Yeah, and that's where I learned to throw sidearm. Then I went back and walked on the next year.
The switch to sidearm was crucial, but also the opportunity you took advantage of, right?
Right. It was meant to be. If I hadn't gotten cut from that team my freshman year, I'd probably still be throwing overhand, and
that's amazing.
I'd be digging a ditch somewhere or something.
Yeah.
whatever the heck I'd be doing besides baseball,
So take me through your journey in the minors. Everyone has a great sort of Atlas-like journey. I go to this town, I go to that town, and finally make it up to Anaheim. Where does yours start?
Yeah, mine, Orem, Utah, for rookie ball. Tom Kochman told me as soon as I learned a changeup, I could leave rookie ball. I was a closer there. I'd pitch well, and then I went to Cedar Rapids, Iowa for about a month. They sent me to high A ball in Rancho Cucamonga. Then I got promoted after the midseason All-Star game to double A. Played in the fall league that year, as a lot of guys have. That earned me an invite to big league camp next year. And Made the team out of camp.
So take me through the conversation. Was it Socia that called you in and told you you made the team right out of the gate? Is that how it worked out?
They told me on a Saturday. Opening day was Monday. He called myself and Jason Bolger, who's a good friend of mine, into the office, said, "You guys made the team." But the equipment guy had tipped me off a couple of days before.
Yeah, equipment guys always know.
They always know. He tipped me off, and he said, "Hey, you got a suit?" I said, "I don't know. I don't think I do." So I had to have my mom FedEx my suit out. So that I was ready for the flight, you know. So the equipment guy really helped me out.
That is classic. Your first day in a major league clubhouse as a member of the Angels, was it on the road or was it in Anaheim?
It was on the road, the Metrodome in Minnesota.
Take me through when you walk through the Metrodome.
Yeah, you know, I was all excited. I thought it was pretty nice. It's a lot nicer than Idaho Springs, Idaho. And John Lack comes up to me and goes, "Hey, man, don't get excited about this place. It's probably the worst stadium in the league." And I was like, "Oh, really? Okay."
You guys had a heck of a team.
Yeah, it was a lot of veterans. So it was like was my big league moment. Was I don't know any of these guys, so I don't even know who to get a cab with. I don't know where the heck I'm going. You know, so
making the switch from overhand to sidearm, and you sometimes pinch yourself and say, "Man, I am really here."
Yeah, I do. We get so concerned with, I have to do this. I have to get this guy out, or I have to get a hit. You lose sight that it's a game you've been playing since you were five, and that it's supposed to be fun. And you know, sometimes you think, "Oh, what if I get sent down? Then I don't get paid anymore." And then you start worrying about the wrong things, and that helps you take a step back and remember it's just a game. You're here for a reason, so have fun.